AI may be the most important new computer technology ever. But AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. See how customers like Uber and Cohere are training their AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. That's oracle.com/wallstreet.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, November 21st. I'm Ariana Spuru for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. To tip or not to tip? New research suggests that the answer could depend on your age.
So a lot of younger people think, all right, well, when I get my coffee or when I get my haircut, it's required for me to tip. That is part of this social contract. Whereas older people see it as more, okay, well, how good was the service? Am I used to tipping here?
WSJ personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter joins us after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever. But AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. See how customers like Uber and Cohere are training their AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. That's oracle.com/wallstreet.
Is tipping an obligation or a choice? A new study shows the answer varies by generation. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter joins me to discuss. Julia, it feels like people have been talking about tipping more and more in the past few years. What's changed that sparked this discussion about how to tip?
When I was speaking with experts for this story, they all mentioned the pandemic as this turning point, or I don't want to say tipping point, that's too corny, but turning point in how we tip. During the pandemic, we saw people working in service and people working in hospitality as doing something very risky, as doing something potentially dangerous. And we tipped them accordingly. People were leaving 30% tips on delivery. People were asking for ways to support businesses. People were treating it as combat pay. That's a phrase from one of the experts I spoke to for this story. Now that we have seen a normalization and we know what that period of time was, people are like, do I keep tipping that much? Do I tip less to make up for that much? Do I go back to what I was doing before? So we're all a little confused right now.
This new research from Pew shows that tipping is actually another example of this generational divide. How does age factor into how much someone tips?
The really interesting thing from this research regarding age and generations is that younger people are likelier than older people to see tipping as an obligation. And older people are likelier than younger people to say they see tipping as a choice. So a lot of younger people think, all right, well, when I get my coffee or when I get my haircut, it's required for me to tip. That is part of this social contract. Whereas older people see it as more, okay, well, how good was the service? Am I used to tipping here? They have other experiences that they're reflecting on. So that we see that sort of fracture in the research there.
Not all tipping is equal. A lot of times people tip between 15, 20, and 25%. What did the study say about the amount that people tip?
So regardless of generation, regardless of circumstance, when Pew asked people, why do you tip a certain amount here and then tip a different amount there? People say it's about service. So if they have a relationship with the person they're tipping, if they really enjoyed the service that they received that they are now tipping for, they will tip more. If they did not like it, if they're not used to tipping in these places, if they had a bad customer service experience, they'll tip less. So everybody, regardless of circumstance, said service is the number one thing that determines how much they tip.
Around this time of year, holiday tipping is really popular for the person, you know, delivering your mail, walking your dog, or cutting your hair. Does this confusion about how much to tip or whether to tip at all impact holiday tips?
It speaks to how conditional so many of these things are. It's an individual choice, right? All of the experts I spoke to said that tipping is emotional, which we don't think of because it's money. We think, okay, we're just adding 30% on the end of this bill. But it is emotional because you are, especially around the holidays, showing your appreciation, you're showing your gratitude, you're showing how much you value a service or a person. I interviewed a woman, she works at a pastry shop in Brooklyn, and she said that during the holidays, they see way more tipping. As soon as Thanksgiving rolls around, they start noticing that people are much more generous, or people will even give holiday gifts as a way of saying thank you for the service.
And there are so many situations where people are confused about whether to tip at all. From the research, what have people said were the factors that they considered when deciding whether to leave a tip?
One of the things that jumps out from the research is how we are prompted and suggested tips now, probably more than ever. You know, using an app, you get a notification that says, would you like to leave a tip? And maybe if you weren't using an app, you wouldn't even consider tipping for that service. But now that you've been prompted to do it, you're likelier to do it. Or you're at the bodega, and when they spin the screen around for you to pay, they ask 15, 20, 25, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm tipping on this too. So there's so many circumstances where we are sort of pushed to do this. Maybe the better word is suggested. And one of the things that jumps out from the study is that, again, there's that generational divide, younger people and older people, but people are likelier to tip in some situations than others. So people are likelier to tip at a sit-down full-service restaurant than they are at a fast food restaurant, for example. Or people are likelier to tip at a hair salon than they are for some other cosmetic service. So a lot of it is dependent on previous experiences and the situation.
You mentioned tip screens there. I feel like everyone can understand the feeling of when you're buying something in person and the screen turns to you. And it's kind of a sticky situation. If you're considering whether or not to tip or how much to tip, it can be awkward on both sides. What did the people you spoke to tell you about this?
One of the sources I spoke to said that tipping screens help people tip more, because they're used to doing so already on their phones through apps. So when they see the tip screen prompting them, they don't even think twice before just hitting 20%, signing, and, you know, turning the screen back around and finishing the transaction. The other thing about tipping screens, though, is that a lot of people don't like them. One of my colleagues wrote a story about some people describing it as emotional blackmail. And she also, in this same story, was interviewing baristas and other workers who said that period is just as awkward for them as it is for the person who's tipping. So when they spin the screen around, they kind of want to look away and avert their eyes because there's just this inherent social awkwardness.
Julia, are there any other takeaways from the study? What does this mean for tipping now?
One of the things about tipping is that everyone can talk about it. Everyone can relate to it. Everyone engages in a service or engages in a business that requires tipping or has now instituted tipping. And the thing that jumped out to me from the study is just how this generational divide we see between younger people and older people, a lot of that is just older people have had more experiences tipping, so they have more to reflect on. Younger people are tipping, you know, in some cases, this is their first entry into the financial world, and they're tipping to start their own experiences that way. We can all compare those experiences and then see what they reveal about what our lives are like.
That was personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with the second episode in our series, The New Money Rules for Kids, where we'll hear from three young entrepreneurs about how they use social media to boost their small business. Today's show was produced by me, Ariana Aspuru, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.